get her going. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick for the next 2 hours. I hope some of you out there watching and listening had a nice, quiet weekend, unlike me, who got sucked into the vortex of the NHL All-Star Weekend.
Party animal.
How's that voice sounding there, buddy? You're
rough. I really need you guys large today. I'm going to sit back and run. I'm telling you, yesterday it was touch and go.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. I just.
Well, glad you pulled through.
I pushed hard yesterday and nothing but feathers came out of my mouth.
Let me, you know, say you are a warrior. You're never a game time decision. You're always a go. We always know you're in. I'd call you the Phil Kessel of shows, but I don't know that that's the compliment I want to give you. So yeah. More like the Chris Tanev who doesn't get injured.
Well, unfortunately, it's not that quiet right now because we're right back into the thick of things with two games on tap. More importantly, in this Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New York Islanders get going tonight. One other game as well, but we got to touch on what we saw, what we heard, what we witnessed. Some things can be said. Some things stay between.
Easy weekend to reconnect your insider network, hey? Like, you talked to everyone in the league over the weekend.
Well, I did. From Thursday on, we know that our show ended here at 6 p.m. Eastern, which didn't give me enough time to get to the rink and watch a lot of the Thursday night. But Friday and Saturday I was there, and to be honest with you, I mean, I watched part of it, but it's such a hard thing to do where you just go and watch and not have anybody talk to you.
You're not sitting in a seat and watching the game. There's people.
I'm not sure. I watched a little bit. Yeah. I watched enough.
I'm not going to ask you about the neutral zone forecheck or anything.
No. Yet. I watched enough to know that the feel and the vibe was much better this All-Star than we've had in a very long time.
I mean, the biggest overarching theme is just tremendous success for the city of Toronto. First off, we had a completely unusual warm February where it's sunny days and 5 degrees, so people got to enjoy, you know, not just inside the building, which was great, but also the skills contest had some real life and vibrancy and intrigue again. I thought that was a real positive. Toronto fans really engaged, booing Kucherov, you know, like showing that they were a part of it. It really ended well, right? With McDavid winning, Team Matthews wins the game. It just, to me, just a tremendously successful All-Star weekend for the NHL here in Toronto.
Can I give you my biggest takeaway?
Of course.
As a Toronto Maple Leaf fan?
Yes.
Connor sure loves it here.
Ah! That is such a Leaf fan takeaway.
So they're in the skills comp, which I was also at. He wins the fastest skater, and he does an on-camera, on-Jumbotron interview. And he says, it's always great to be in my hometown. And the crowd erupted. To their credit, they erupted. And he's not a happy guy. He is a grumpy guy. A smile, like it was Christmas morning. He was 6 years old, and there was Jurassic Park toys spread around. He was smiling ear to ear. I've never seen him that happy. But the Biebs was the most happy. No, Connor being in Toronto. That's my biggest take. Connor in Toronto, it's a big weekend for that.
He did on a number of occasions mention the faithful Edmonton Oiler followers.
Yeah, of course.
He's not bailing on him, Sammy.
Oh, okay. Hey. I'm just saying how much he loves spending time in his hometown.
That's true. You didn't say anything more than that.
There's any pictures of him holding Leafs jerseys as a child. It's not even like that even exists on the internet. Like, come on. I'm not suggesting anything.
We did our last.
Thank you for that.
We did our last show of the week, of course, at the Metro Convention Center. The fan fair was it's amazing to watch young families, and you're included in that because your son and your wife joined us as well there, but you took off fairly quickly. What was the vibe outside of the work that we did on our show?
So my son Charlie is not like a diehard hockey fan. He's 7 years old. He plays hockey, but he's not like one of those kids who's obsessed and whatever. This weekend was almost a conversion for him, like being around that fanfare. He did a couple of the events. He knows a few guys' names, but the skills contest, the way it goes, okay, that's Nylander and his helmet's off and you get to see him and you get to root for this one guy. And he's our hometown guy. So, you know, we get the Islanders blood. So he was rooting for Matthews, Nylander and Barzal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got a pretty good chance. You got three of the 12 guys in there. He really, you know, connected with those guys. And like, he wanted to know how they did the next day. He had an awesome day. And I think that's what this weekend is, right? It's meant to be to hook new hockey fans and to pay off for the kids. So
yeah.
Really cool. How pumped was he to be at our little fanfare thing?
Yeah.
Oh, and now, he's fired.
Over the moon.
You know, the other thing that really strikes me, especially when you kind of right in the thick of things, and I did a couple events today, which included the NHL mascots.
Yeah.
And to watch the kids respond to these big, goofy stuffed adult people in these costumes.
Was Gritty there?
He was yeah,
Gritty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gritty's the Gretzky of mascots.
I did not see Gritty.
He was there. Oh, Gritty was there. Yeah.
I saw a bunch of other ones, but to watch the kids' reaction to the mascots.
Yeah.
Is like there's no one else in the room.
My only criticism of the NHL this weekend may have been the mascots were after the All-Star game, which was the skills game, which was 3+ hours long. So at 10:30, I was like, yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah.
You're 2 hours past
bedtime.
There's
nowhere else to put them, I guess.
Before.
Can't go before. Or, I don't know.
That's well, something that could be happening as you walk in.
This was on Friday?
No, it was the skills. I think Thursday after the skills they did.
Oh, Friday after the skills.
Yeah. You know, there's the odd thing that could be better. Like, it could have been tightened up. You know, like one guy between events, there's 4 or 5 minutes to set up. Mm. To me, it was like, when you're golfing with a guy and he waits for someone else to hit, then starts his whole like shooting it with a laser and practice swings. Like
starts putting the glove on.
It could have been like once one guy's done the event, let's get the next guy up. It could have been tighter.
I didn't mind the Tate McRae break for the NHL All-Star game. That was okay.
She
was good.
I enjoyed that part of it. Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's like the real deal.
Yeah. You have a lovely young woman.
I'm not sure we need much more entertainment other than maybe one as another way to maybe shorten things up, because I think they had another concert earlier.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing could have been 2 hours, not three maybe, but I will say it built and built, and the shootout and the obstacle course at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, those had the potential to flop and they landed. Like this obstacle course is really cool. And I love that, like in the shootout, Barzal picks Shesterkin, Islander on Islander. You know, Matthews went on Demko, you know, kind of inter-Canada American guys. Like I thought there were some really good matchups.
Willie picks Cam Talbot.
Me, yeah, the worst guy. Yeah. And let him up for nine.
Yeah, he did. He let him up.
Him the win.
So that's not to get too into the nuts and bolts of it, but Willie had a legit chance to win it when he does the obstacle course, flies through everything, and then misses the bunny.
The
he had like the bunny, and he actually had a real chance to win it. Well, at least McDavid still would have gone, but it would have been a bit more pressure on McDavid. Anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
The one thing that kind of stood out above and beyond anything was that the guys put in a real effort. Mm. Like they, and it was led by Connor McDavid. They all worked their asses off this weekend.
And that has just on the ice.
But no, on the ice. I'm talking now just on the ice.
Okay.
That we've seen in the past that these guys absolutely mail it in. It didn't help the last few years that we asked them to put red noses on and costumes and because people in the NHL office were so fixated on
trying to be the NBA game,
just trying to show like what that they're entertaining or they're they got this certain style or whatever. No, they're just hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go back to the root of what they're supposed to do, and that's show you world-class skill. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
And it was because they actually went to McDavid, and he was the nuts and bolts of revamping this whole skills competition, to your point.
Yeah.
And it played off beautifully.
Yeah. A pleasant surprise, for sure. You know,
I think, you know, like I see clips, like right before All-Star, a lot of different hockey accounts are uploading sort of like TikToks and Instagram reels of the old All-Star game challenge ones where it's like Jágr up against Brodeur and all these different things. And to me, this for the first time, this is one of those that you'll be able to, like, if you're Charlie's age, you'll be able to look back on and be like,
I saw McDavid with real, like, 4 for 4.
With real nostalgia, where it's not like they're shooting at a surfboard.
Right.
They're playing the actual things, they're doing the actual traditional events, the hardest shot, like the accuracy, the obstacle course. But, like, yeah, McDavid just set this up to win.
Well, I don't think there's a way to set it up that he's not.
Anything that involves skating is set up for him to win.
I will say, I feel like the biggest idiot for not just betting my everything on him to win it.
That, you know, like, I did Bung Show this morning, and he was saying the big 10 seconds into the skills contest, you're like, ah.
Yeah, he was 8-1.
That was the odds?
Yes.
Oh, they were good odds then.
Yeah, you could have got paid if you just said, I don't know, maybe the best guy's going to win.
That was dumb. Crazy. That was dumb.
I'd buy that for $1.
You should have bought that for many dollars.
More than $1.
The other thing that stood out, of course, was...
Zlebs?
Well, no. Well, besides that, the Leaf win in the 3-on-3. Now, again, I didn't pay too much attention, but it was kind of set up where all the Leafs were together. So, I mean, it was scripted. It couldn't have been scripted any better for Leaf fans that Austin and his teammates ended up winning the whole thing.
Yeah. I did have Matthews as MVP.
Yeah. I went off of it.
Now, was that
McDavid
a true MVP or just giving it to the best?
Close enough.
Player.
But I gave that out. I gave that out on Friday.
Two goals and an assist in the final game and the game winner. He's the hometown guy.
I gave it out on Friday. I didn't even stick with it. I was like, I watched McDavid dominate. I got to go with McDavid.
Austin was getting it no matter how bad he'd be.
I don't know. He had to do enough. Like, I think DeBrincat had 3 goals and 3 assists over the 2 games.
I saw Forsberg score a lot of goals, too.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He had as many as Forsberg. So who are you going to give it to? You know, it's like nice. You know, the one thing that I thought was really funny was the Bruins guys really giving it to the Leafs a little bit. Montgomery says, I heard Willie talking about back-checking. Didn't expect that, you know, which is a nice little barb. And then Pasternak says, I know the Leafs needed some wins, so good for them to get one. Love that.
Listen, I think that would carry a lot more water if you didn't just have the most historic collapse in NHL history in the first round last year.
Right, but it's fun that they're...
For sure, but
thinking,
you know,
about the Leafs still.
Remind me how many Stanley Cups he's won?
Yeah.
Zero. Like, he's not, like, Mr. Winning Everything. Just because you play for a team that's won doesn't mean you've won anything. Like, that to me was tacky.
That's just more a shot at the history than perhaps...
Yeah, for sure, but, like...
Individuals.
Have a look in the mirror, Pasta. Like, you're not exactly Sidney Crosby in terms of your accomplishments.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit bad.
Oh, I loved it. Loved
I'm sure
that.
You did. Yeah. But I just, it's like, you know... You were the best team in the regular season in the history of the league last year, wasn't it? And then they go up in the first round, and they blow it.
Cooch is the best. The leading scorer also blew this.
Yeah. And there's no way that Leaf fans booing him during a All-Star game will ever come back and haunt. No way. No way that'll ever come back.
That's the one thing that stood out, too, is Kucherov. And if you don't want to be here, don't come.
Yeah.
It was a bad look.
You know, to me, I think when he tries, it doesn't look like trying. Do you know what I mean? Like, when he's shooting the puck, he's just got that kind of lazy motion, whatever. And then when it's going badly and he's like, I'm not going to win, and he kind of punts anyway. To me, like, I think he was trying until it didn't work out. And then
watching it, you know, they bring out the guest passers and it's Connor Bedard and Sidney. I'm like, maybe it should have been Sidney Crosby doing this instead of Kucherov. It's like, I don't know. Anyways.
I think what I really liked was he was in front of a fan base that's sophisticated enough
to pick up
that you're mailing it in.
Yeah, agree.
And then they carried the booing over to the next day.
And it's fantastic. And what I also did was send a message to all the other skilled guys is that
we're watching.
You're not in Florida, you know, chucking pucks at a surfboard where they're just wouldn't know any better.
Yeah.
You're in Toronto, man. You can't pull that crap off here and think you're going to get away with it.
Talk about this on Monday. You know, do you want to be the subject matter?
Yeah. And I think
when
they booed him, they're like, okay, let's pick it up.
Yeah.
So again, towards that effort, taking it seriously and putting on a good show for the fans. That's what we want when you're paying $400 a ticket.
You know, is it not a reminder, though, when you watch the guys do those skills contests, the best in the world, how hard hockey is?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're doing the passing challenge while skating, trying to hit a thing. This, you know, we just assume that for the best in the world, this bang, bang, bang. It's hard. It's a hard sport.
I went out for a beer after with a friend of mine, and we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And we were watching the highlights of it on TV, and it was like, I think it's not as impressive to people because not as many people have, like, for example... you know, dribbled a basketball or shot a basketball. Like the NHL, it's like not, you don't know how insanely hard what these guys are doing.
Well, you know, one thing that stands out to me is like when you pass a puck and it's spinning heel to toe, it curls.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're skating and anticipating the curl coming off your stick when you're passing from distance and hitting these small targets, you can be made to look a little silly.
Makar during the passing challenge was unbelievable.
Ting, bang, ting.
Just hitting every single one full speed. So, yeah, it was good.
All right, anything else?
From the weekend?
No.
Yeah, the celebrities, I thought, were a really nice touch. I thought I loved Bieber's coat. And I loved how much he loved it. I thought Buble and Arnett were hilarious and welcome. Sometimes hockey forces celebrities. Yeah.
They got the right ones.
They're like, it's Snoop Dogg. And it's like, love Snoop Dogg. He doesn't really love hockey.
They got the right ones.
Yeah, they got the right guys.
Specifically Tate McRae.
The Biebs could have tried a little harder on the...
You didn't like the draft.
I didn't like... And the lying down and the one or two word sentences. I don't know if he's got the confidence to try to pull it off. He's not Buble. He's not Arnett, who get paid.
Yeah.
Not to sing
like that. Yeah. But
right?
You know, he is so sincere in how much he loves the game. Like, you know, dressing up for warm up and going out with the guys, taking pictures with everyone.
And he did put on a concert.
Yeah. You know,
so
like,
I get it. I give him a bit of a pass on that.
Yeah.
Because he is what he is.
And I will say, I'm pretty impressed with his hockey skills.
Yeah.
Look, he looked okay. You know, when he's out there warming up with a bunch of NHLers.
But he plays.
He plays, but like, so do I. And I wouldn't look like that. So he looked good. I liked it.
Good.
And Michael Buble, who we had on Friday, if you didn't catch it, please go back and download it, because his passion for the game and his passion for Vancouver and his knowledge
is as
good as we've ever had, you know, outside of the three of us.
Yeah, it was a part, owner of the Vancouver Giants, well involved in the, steeped in the hockey community there. So, little microdose here and there, keep a guy going through it, you know.
All right, let's.
2024, why not?
How do we feel like right back in the thick of things? Like, it seems like when there are long breaks, we wait forever for a game. And now these guys have gone through their weekend, an emotional one that was thoroughly enjoyed by family and friends, and now they're thrust right into a game tonight against the Islanders. And I don't know, is there a chance for a little bit of a letdown?
Well, yes. I think it's an important question, because the Leafs get a lot of flack for being a top-heavy team. They rely on four or five guys to carry them to wins, and those four or five guys just got, you know, we're busy.
Before we get into the Leafs stuff, we should mention that we're going to have Paul Grant in the second hour to talk about the London Police press conference today. So we're going to have more on that in the second hour, in the more national hour. So we have a bigger audience in that. Before we get into Leafs stuff, I should mention that. But yeah, it was just, you know, not a ton of answers being given today, but we'll get more into that with Paul. I just wanted to mention that before we get into the Leafs stuff here.
And also in about, 15 minutes, Butch Goring will help tee us up tonight's game as well. So there is a chance.
Yes. What was I saying?
The letdown.
Because they rely on the top four guys. They're very top heavy. Those guys have been through the ringer this weekend, not just on the ice, but social. And also, they would have been out at nights.
So we have five clips on this, and this is the fifth clip. Derek, this is the most relevant one to what we're talking about here in terms of a letdown. So if you want to play clip five for us there, Derek.
Yeah, I think talking to them yesterday, you know, they all first had a blast and we're thrilled with how it all went and everything that was associated with it. I know that they were really thrilled to be a part of. But it was very clear, not so much talking to them, they didn't give you a whole lot, but just we had a lot of people in our organization that had a lot to do with the event as well. And whether it's our training staff, equipment staff, or office staff, people were, throughout the building. And there was a lot of comments just about how hectic it was and how busy those guys in particular were being here in our city. So we're trying to be mindful of that. Left it to them to determine what they needed yesterday. It was an optional again here this morning.
So I think that clip right there is sort of setting up the what he thinks may come tonight. Don't you think? Talking about how it's like, they were really busy and now they're right back into it.
Yeah, and then, the Isles only have one guy in the game, which is something. But also, they have Patrick Waugh, who I still think they're trying to impress and make first impressions for and whatever. Like, I think you're going to get a pretty engaged Islanders team tonight.
Well, really engaged if they just look at the standings and understand that if they have any playoff aspirations, it's got to go through right now Detroit and Toronto. Mm-hmm. I guess technically is Toronto still a wild card?
Mm-hmm. They're in a wild card spot.
Today.
They are a point behind with three games in hand,
but
Tampa.
I don't know. Could they pretty much kiss it goodbye with a loss, right? Regulation loss today?
Islanders? I mean, no, it's desperation. I mean, they are way back of Detroit. Okay, they're 6 points back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Games in hand?
Yeah, they got one.
Mm-hmm. So they need this.
They do. They need to turn the corner and really get things started in a positive direction. And then, you know, I think it's there for them. So, yeah, I expect a pretty good Islanders effort tonight. I'm going to be curious what the Leafs are able to muster up. I do think that John Tavares should be better rested. Matthew Nye is another guy who looked like he could use a break. Good for those guys. But so four stars played and were busy and out at night. And
I saw Austin at that World Cup press conference with Gary Bettman
Hearn
out at night.
Yeah. And so no Yarncroc, no David Camp. So we got four partied guys and two regulars out tonight for the
Olympics. Okay, you mentioned David Camp. Apparently something happened just before the All-Star break. The Leafs thought it might settle down. It didn't. Went for, I believe, an MRI, if I'm not mistaken, today just to see what was going up. We'll get Sheldon Keefe on David Camp's situation. Clip 3, Derek.
Yeah, just there's something there they found on the MRI that's going to require some time to heal. Nothing significant at this point. It's usually about a couple week timeline. Now it's a little funny because it happened before the break and all of that, so he's sort of already on his way. So not going to be available this week, and then we'll move into day-to-day category from there if all goes well.
Okay, and then do we also want to just, while we're doing updates on guys, see where Joseph Woll is at? Check in on him, another injury guy there. Clip 4, please.
Yeah, obviously getting out on the ice today and then kind of getting more involved in practice is it. But, you know, the timelines that we were given, he's on track for, which is sort of the middle of this month, to getting back into more full involvement and then making a determination for his status for games from there. So we're just kind of taking it a day at a time as we work towards that. But he's not, at this point, he's not anywhere close to us considering him for game action. It's more so ramping up towards full participation in practice and then making a determination on his plan from there.
This is dragging with,
yeah,
with Woll.
So another 2 weeks for Woll. You know, the middle of the month is in 10 days, probably 2 weeks. So you're looking at a 10-week recovery from that injury, which, you know, Kip, you've mentioned is these ankles, is it takes time.
Do you think that the emergence of Samsonov and I guess the quote-unquote steadiness of Martin Jones has pushed back that timeline a little bit? Like, do you think they're feeling as though they can be a little extra cautious with the nature of the injury, or do you think it's just this is the length regardless?
I'm him. It ramps up.
Ask me that question a week to 10 days from now.
Like when he's close?
Yeah. Right now, the answer is no. That has no bearing whatsoever.
I'll write that down. I'll ask you in a week.
Yeah. But I feel like don't look any further for Samsonov and what kind of comeback he's made till after tonight.
Yeah.
That's the position that he put himself in by having a horrific first half of the season. You don't get he's back.
Yeah.
From my perspective, you don't get to say he's back or the Leafs are in a good position now.
Yeah, he had a couple good games against Seattle and the Jets without their offense.
He just needs to keep building, and that includes tonight. And then If it looks good tonight for Samsonov, the next test don't look any further than Dallas on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got
a stiff test.
He's got to get through these two games here unscathed.
Yeah,
I think there's a scenario where he plays all three this week, right? Because they play Monday, Wednesday, Saturday against the Sens, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
like I think if he's feeling good and you just play him all three, and just try to build it with them.
I think so too, right? You're going to play tonight, day off, get to play again, and then, yeah, you get a couple after that. It's not like you're trying to find out what Jones is, unless you feel like you need to keep Jones sharp.
Involved, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just I'll say it again. Knife's edge with Samsonov. No idea what you're going to get. No. I truly have no idea what to expect, but anyways.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get one comment in out of Sheldon Keefe on Patrick Waugh. Of course, back in the league, leading the Islanders. I'm not sure how it ends up looking for the rest of the year, but he's got a lot of work to do. There's no question.
He does. I think he's going to be good for the Islanders. I think a lot of people there have been inspired by his passion. He wants to win. He's not there. He doesn't want a team that's like going to improve. He wants to win. So, why don't we have a listen on Keith with the differences in the Islanders with Patrick Waugh?
I think that they just need to play with more aggression, more pressure on the puck defensively. Seem to be, I would say that those are the biggest things. Now, we've played the Islanders twice already, and I thought both games we played them, they played us pretty hard, and they were emotional and physical type games playing down in Long Island, and both games went to overtime. So I'm expecting much the same that way.
So was that the first game that we went to together was against the Islanders, right? Remember that?
Yes.
That was the last time I think they played in Toronto when Rasmus Sandin fought somebody. I forget who it was that he fought.
Wallstrom or someone. Yeah.
He went toe to toe with them.
Yeah.
Feel like they definitely have a lot less sting in their game here than when it's in Long Island for obvious reasons. But, they need it. So
they've lost twice, right, in overtime to the Islanders this year.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to bring back four-time Stanley Cup champion Butch Goring. We'll get into the Islanders with him and what Patrick's already done with this hockey club as they come back. Few injuries. Looks like they're getting healthier, JB.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll
get to
get
that.
Back.
Maybe even ask Butchie about his big battle with Biz Nasty.
We should ask.
You mean how he keeps putting Biz in a locker every time he tweets out?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to want to miss that. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We wait for Butch Goring, four-time Stanley Cup champion, help tee us up. New York Islanders versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sammy, we got him? What kind of producer are you? You're just... Has not answered yet.
I texted Derek the number. So...
On the way. We can talk about Tyler Bertuzzi getting his... All right,
turn your mic on. Then you can talk about it.
We could talk about Tyler Bertuzzi getting his braids cut off.
Okay.
His lovely hair.
My first thought is, change it up, buddy.
Okay, 100%.
Whatever it takes, shave it.
Yeah.
But,
whatever you were doing before,
whatever.
Do the opposite.
And donate he donated the hair, right?
He donated to cancer.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kids, I believe.
Yeah.
So, and he's done it before. So when he went home at the break, sounds like he did it again. So you're going to get a clean cut, sharp looking Bertuzzi.
I will say, someone went through like the COVID time and you weren't able to get a haircut.
Yeah.
I had a horrible mop.
Yeah, same.
Really bad. And I will say, that first haircut, when he went and got it done.
New man.
Boy, you feel better. Like, he's going to feel way better on the ice.
Smaller helmet.
Yeah.
He's got to get going because the only thing left for him is to donate his hands after this.
There were some.
He's got to put the puck in the net.
I actually think a lot hinges on Tyler Bertuzzi. Like, him becoming the guy they thought they were signing, I don't remember exactly what we said before the break, but the Leafs are like the 11th best team in the league right now. They're not
mid.
Right. They're good mid, upper mid.
Upper mid.
And, him being a 25 goal guy would can help take him to the next level. Get a couple of D. Bertuzzi starts to play well. put Bertuzzi or Domi on the wing with a couple of the stars. Like, let's need to get, take a step here from upper mid.
Clearly, the Leafs didn't take me up on my advice to sneak in a game with the Marlies for Matthew Knies. You mentioned that the rest might do him well, yeah. Which kind of makes me laugh that a 21-year-old has got more energy than the three of us combined right now.
But mentally, he's never been through this. He's never been through this. Remember, he's saying at 40-some games, he'd be done the college season by now.
One of them have to really establish themselves as a legit top four player for the Leafs.
Bertuzzi, Domi, and Knies all need to be better, but one or two of them need to be like legitimate players.
Yeah, I mean, listen, looking ahead, who's the most important?
I don't even have Max in there. I don't have Max in there.
Why not? Because, why not have him play wing with a couple of the stars?
He's got no opportunity. But he hasn't.
I know he hasn't.
So he's kind of excluded. And when it comes to someone solidifying their spot with Matthews and Marner, it's either Knies or Bertuzzi. It's not Max, because Max has not been put in that position.
He should be.
I don't disagree with you.
He's not the third line center answer.
Do you think that's coming in the next few games if one of these guys doesn't step up production-wise?
Probably. I really think it's a matter of finding value in some of these guys at $3 million. If he's a top six winger who can be a 0.75 points per game, you got value. So I think he deserves a chance to try that out, because I don't think he's the third line center in playoffs. I don't.
And I mean, well, they can't move him up right now because they don't have camp for a week. So
you need a center.
A center. So I guess Holmberg slides in for camp here, but yeah, you can't really go with.
Have we seen any lineups tonight yet? As Reeves?
Yeah, I think Reeves back in.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting now. And not that Kampf was having a great season, but very important player, along with Yarncroc. Yarncroc's also, let's not forget, out probably another 2 weeks. Like, that's a significant blow to the depth for Sheldon Keefe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just buzzed in my ear, but did you mention the penalty kill? That is, like, those are the two guys that play the most time, probably, outside of Marner, right? So other guys will have to slide in there.
And looking at, you know, 46 games that he's played so far this season for Yarncroc, he is fifth on the team in goals. He's got 10 goals. You know, it's the big four, and then it's Kelly Yarncroc. So, you know, it's to lose another PK guy and a guy who can shoot it in the net. It's some real opportunity here for Nick Robertson to take the reins, and Holmberg and these guys, it's their time.
Mm-hmm. I think Holmberg slides into a camp spot tonight.
4C there with Reeves and McMahon is the likely outcome. So,
how about the blue line?
You
expect
looking a little thin.
Yeah, no, I know.
Do you expect the likes of TJ Brody and Gio to be better just based on the rest as well?
But for how long, you know? Like, where they played 46 games, and I wouldn't say either of them looked spectacular in the first half one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But, maybe you'll get a good push out of them early here. We'll see.
All right, let's welcome him in. Four-time Stanley Cup champion. Does a terrific job on the MSG Network covering the New York Islanders. Butch Goring. Butchie, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Living the dream, right? Being involved in hockey. How could it be any better than that?
All right, listen, were you like me, just busy as can be during the All-Star weekend? Is that why you're a little late for our show? You slept in?
No, actually, but I did take it easy. Use the time just to kind of relax and sort of recharge the batteries and get ready for that last 33 games or so.
Well, that's great. So, Butchie, set us up on what to expect from this New York Islanders team now with Patrick Waugh at the helm. Got a little bit of a break here and a chance to sort of prepare for a second-half push. What's different about them? What should we expect to be different?
Well, certainly it's a different coaching style. I mean, Lane Lambert was a much more quiet leader and didn't see as much emotion on the bench and that type of thing. Certainly the practices have been very upbeat, and Patrick has been very vocal during the practices. And, you know, he has, obviously he walks in with tremendous respect given, you know, what he's accomplished not only as a player, but, you know, as a coach, winning a couple of Memorial Cups and doing a heck of a job on the in the Avalanche. And I mean, even in, to quote Barzell, you know, the team got lazy. So the reputation of Patrick Waugh is they're not going to be able to get lazy.
Butch, in terms of healthy bodies, I don't think Cizikas is available tonight, but they should be getting some help on the back end. How big of a lift will that be?
Well, it's huge. You know, like you said, I'm not sure if Adam Pellick is back or not. I didn't check in and with that part of it, but Ryan Pollock's supposed to come back, and he had a tremendous playoff last year, and he can be a really effective player for the Islanders. So they've had a tough season as far as injuries, and they've lost key defensemen. And I think they've only played with maybe 8 to 10 games where they've had their entire top 6 defensemen playing. So in fairness to some of the results, having a healthy team plays an important role in a success. So anybody that they can get back, I understand that Cizikas is going to be out for a while, but young McLean has done an excellent job. So we'll see how it all goes, but there's no question that this team is what needed a boost. Unfortunately, they weren't playing their best hockey, and as we all know, it's not all about the coach. It's a lot about the players, too. But they seem to be rejuvenated, not only physically, but mentally.
But, Jay, how do you assess this Islanders team in terms of true talent, like where they should be in the NHL standings versus where they actually are? Is this a team that you feel like had been underachieving their true talent level a lot, or is this a team with this, maybe the ceiling is not quite as high as expectations for some?
You know what? I don't know where this team is, because it's been a team that's just never, this season has never been able to bring a consistent effort. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs think they're world beaters, and then other teams think they're egg beaters. So they have moments where they look, okay, I can take on the world. And then the next night they show up like they did in Minnesota with no excuses, and they look like they couldn't beat an American Hockey League team. So for me, it's really hard to understand just who they are and what they are and how good can they be, because they just don't put it together long enough to really give you a sense, okay, this is who you are. And they haven't been as healthy as they would like to be. So when they have everybody together and they're playing their game, then they can challenge anybody on any given night. So I'm hoping Patrick can get these guys to play on a more consistent basis, so everybody can get a handle on, say, are they real contenders? Could they do well in the playoffs, or are they a bunch of pretenders?
We're talking to four-time Stanley Cup champion Butch Goring, who's covering the New York Islanders on the MSG Network. Butch, we know Patrick's here now for a long while here, but just in terms of the pressure to get them into the playoffs this year, is it truly there, or is his main job here to go into that dressing room and find out who he can win and not win with moving forward?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Lou brought in Patrick, because he believes that this team can be better than it has been. And so he wants to see Patrick find a way to get these guys to get themselves in the playoffs. And as we saw last year, you get into the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. You get hot, you get the right goaltender, things go well for you. You can do a lot better than maybe the expectations are. But I think in the same breath, I think they want to see, certainly from a coaching perspective, what his opinion is of this team. Who does he like? Who doesn't he like? And then, maybe they make some adjustments as time goes on. So I think it's a twofold question I'm trying to answer for you.
Yeah.
Hey, can you give us an insight into this Matt Barzell character? Because watching him at the skills contest, there's not many people on earth who can do some of the things he can do, and he kind of checks in as a point per game guy with the Islanders. What's the missing piece for this guy to take the next step to not just be a skilled guy, but to be as effective as some of the, 12 guys he was in that All-Star skills contest with?
I think Matt Barzell is sitting on the perimeter of being a superstar in this league. I think he is. This year has been his best year as a pro by a country mile, and not just only on the score sheet, but certainly in every aspect of the game. I mean, he's been much more vocal. He's much more mature, and watching the All-Star game, as we all know, those All-Star games are very loosely played games most of the time. Nobody pays a lot of attention to defense. Everybody's looking to score the goals. But I will tell you, in watching the games, I thought Matt Barzell was the most professional of them all. He actually was in defensive position, stepped in front of people, looked like, okay, it's a playoff game. And to me, that's the most important part of his game that he has been working on. And from the All-Star game, which is a nothing game, from that aspect, he showed me a whole lot of things. So we know he can do a lot of different things. I would say that the only thing that he could probably add to his game is I'd like to see him score more goals. I think he's capable. I think he's a passer by nature. But so was Sidney Crosby, and Sidney Crosby decided to be a scorer one year, and we know what happened then. So I think that's about the only aspect of Matt's game that I would like to see him get to be just a little more of a prolific scorer.
Butch, I'm not saying this to kind of underwhelm the Bo Horvats, the Anders Lee, or the Brock Nielsen, but do they need another high end skilled guy to go with Barzal to maybe go to another level here? Is there a thought that maybe just it's not high enough as a second guy to play off for Barzal?
I wouldn't necessarily agree with you. I will tell you, though, there's no question they need a little more offense. And, you know, the second line with Palmieri and Nelson and Engvall has not been anywhere near as consistent as they need to be. I mean, they've got to get some offense on a more consistent basis. Certainly Brock Nelson has provided, 20 goals, so you can't say he's not getting his job done. But Palmieri has struggled at times. Engvall has gone through a real tough stretch over the last 20 games. Of course, I don't have to tell you guys about that.
Nope.
So
not our producer, Sammy.
and so I think that line there has to. They got to find if it's not that line, then they got to find someone else that can do it. So I think that is a more pressing need than anything else. Anders Lee does fit in there pretty well, And don't forget, Anders scored over 30 goals, 2 years in a row. So that's not too bad. It's not too shabby. So I think you have to look at it from that aspect. It's been a good fit, but for me, it's the second line has got to figure out, how to get more goals.
All right, Butch. I hope this isn't an annoying question for you, but we just have to ask with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New York Islanders go head to head. I'm not even going to ask you about John Tavares. The Leafs are Paul Bissonnette's favorite hockey team. I need to know. Are you guys pals behind the scene? You guys have a hell of a run at each other online these days. Give us the background on the whole thing.
Well, I can't give you all the secrets, but what I can be honest with is I've never met Paul Bissonnette in my lifetime.
Yes.
He was never on the ice, so how could I ever play against him? And quite frankly, I watch him and really for me, I'm just defending my Islander team. I'm an Islander through and through. And if Biz wants to take a pot shot at the Isles, so be it. And so when the opportunity comes, we have good trade off. I'm not sending any hitmen after him. I can tell you that much, but we're having a good time and the fans seem to be having a good time.
How about a podcast with the two of you called like spitting at each other?
People are loving it, Butchie. I can tell you from both sides, it's fully entertaining. So,
hey, one more, Butchie, just one more for me, and it's Sorokin. Sorokin was always the guy that they talked about that was just on the outside of being the best goalie in the league, behind Vasilevsky and Shesterkin, and he's not having a good year, is he?
Well, you know what? That's another one that's kind of a little bit misleading, to be perfectly frank with you. They have on many, many occasions, the team that has hung him out to dry. I mean, I'm not a big fan of stats and all that, but he's number one in saves in high danger scoring areas. So that speaks volumes about what kind of a game this guy's having to play most nights, night in and night out. In fact, Patrick Waugh, mentioned that's one of the first things he said is that we got to give this guy a break. I mean, we're killing him with the opportunities and the shots. So I think the stats are a little misleading, but I will say that he's been a little leaky, more so than he was last year. I mean, some of the goals slipped through him this year, and that didn't happen last year. So yeah, I agree with you that he was on. You could say he was and he was second in the Vezina last year, and he deserved it. But this year he hasn't been as spectacular is probably the best way to say it. He's been really good. He's the reason they have as many wins as they do, but he hasn't been spectacular. And I think the bar has been set so high that when he lets in one, we're all like, oh, Jesus, what's wrong with him?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've seen that myself watching these games. It's been a different defense in front of them. Last one for me, I just want to talk about one of those guys on the D core, Noah Dobson, maybe one of the most unsung D in the NHL at this point. He's having a hell of a breakout year, isn't he?
He should have been in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
agreed. Just let me just say that. He has been spectacular, and he's the, you know, the biggest jump in anybody's game has come from Noah Dobson, and he is now what I would consider a legitimate number one bottom five pick. I mean, he is. It took him a lot longer than everybody wanted it to be, but he has been nothing short of sensational. I mean, his offensive prowess has been spectacular. He's a great skater. He has great vision. He has a scoring touch to him, and his defense continues to get better and better. So this guy's is a legitimate player for the Islanders, and everybody will be talking about him, and maybe in the very near future about being able to keep up with Hughes and Makar. So he's been great.
Looking forward to tonight's action. Butchie, thanks for doing this, pal.
All right, you guys, take care. Be well. Justin, good to talk to you, man.
You too. Thanks, Butchie.
That's Butch Goring, Stanley Cup winner four times with the New York Islanders.
Hell of a golfer, too.
Decent playoff numbers for old Butchie, too.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
He can do it all.
Oh, my God.
PK, everything. Yeah.
So the deal, Biz just goes after the Islanders. He hates the New York Islanders.
I don't necessarily listen to their podcast fully, but like the sort of feeling I get from clips and on Twitter and stuff is that he finds them boring. And he thinks they're boring. He thinks their fans are a little,
you know what though? That to
annoying.
Me is, to me, that the boring thing is a remnant from the Trotz era Islanders when they got that reputation. Yeah. I don't know that that's as accurate.
Winning's actually boring.
Well, yeah. But now they give up a ton of chances and don't win.
Yeah. You know,
that's
so, and then, I mean, the exchanges are excellent. And, like, even what she could just got it one in there being like, hey, he was never on the ice, so I don't know how kind of a player he was. Accomplishments, it's hard to side with Biz.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Love the guy, but it's like,
his numbers are tired.
Which he is.
I wonder where the Islanders would be if Sorokin was an all-star this year.
You know, so Butchie mentioned like their high danger chances or whatever. Sportlogic, and I don't know how much this you believe in these metrics, but goal saved versus expectations. So they take like high danger chances, score this often, whatever. The top five are Sorokin, Demko, Hellebuck, Swayman, and Ingram. You know, he's in the group of guys that's been very good for a team that has not been very good. They just give up. They're the opposite of Trotz era Islanders at this point. They needed a coaching change as much as any team I've seen in a long time. We'll see if he gets a little better insulated.
It's bad. Right.
I did like your question about do they need a top-end guy, because they do struggle to put it in the net.
And again, I love Bo Horvat, but
if
Barzal had one other high-end guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would go a long way. For sure it would.
I mean, be like Matthews or Marner or Nylander just being solo on the Leafs.
Yeah.
The way I see it.
Yep, it's tough to produce when you don't have someone else that can do the things you're doing. And Horvat, 20 goals is definitely helping them, but Horvat's not a top 50 guy in the league.
You're so right on Barzal.
Yeah.
He's a breathtaking occupier.
He can do everything that, you skate with McDavid.
Watching him fly around the ice and the fastest skate.
I'm still not convinced, though, that he has the high IQ to go along with a high-end talent.
I think that's... You know, offensively, it's a unique talent to know where the most dangerous place on the ice is, to put the puck there all the time. That's why Leon Draisaitl's so nasty. You're never like, he's not the fastest guy. He just knows where to be, where to put it.
He also plays the Bodor, so that helps.
Plays the Bodor and Earth's best player.
Yeah, that helps.
Okay, we still have plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show in the next hour. Claude Julien, one of the top winning coaches in NHL history, will join us. We'll talk about Todd McClellan being let go in L.A., We'll also have Paul Grant, senior editor for Sportsnet.ca, to update us on the latest from the 2018 World Junior case where they spoke today. Yep. So plenty more on Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away. The storylines continue. And we'll return after these words.